Welcome to the Songs of Note podcast, where we talk about the songs we love and the stories behind them. I'm your host, Ryan Gregg.
I am so glad you're here today. And if you're here, I am assuming that you love music, and I love music. And that's what we talk about on this show is the stories behind songs and albums and artists, and just try to have a deeper understanding of the songs that we hear and what things inspired those songs. So I'm really excited about today's episode because I have Patrick Droney on as a guest. You might recognize the name Patrick Droney. He was a guest on episode 36, talking about his upcoming album, State of the Heart, at the time. And now that album has done just really well over the past year. So he's releasing a deluxe edition with 5 new tracks. And he's somebody who is just super cool and also is just has a real unique understanding of music and the way music works across decades and even genres. And I just really love his songwriting and I like his approach to music. And so in this episode, we're gonna have an interview, but I'm also going to get to play some of those brand new tracks. This album is out. The deluxe edition of State of the Heart is out September 17th. But I just really enjoyed this conversation where we got to chat. Now, full disclosure here, sometimes if you do like a software update on your computer and then everything is expected to work as normal, sometimes it doesn't. So the sound quality of the call is a little bit below what you're hearing right now because I was able to fix it, but not in time for the call. So that's why the audio is a little different than normal. If you're new to the show, be sure and subscribe so you don't miss future episodes. And also, there's a ton of other episodes that we've already done in the past that on songs and albums that hopefully you might find interesting as well. And glad you're here. And let's head on over to the interview now. This is Patrick Droney talking about the deluxe edition of his record, State of the Heart. Well, hey, Patrick, thanks so much for coming back on the show today, man. I'm so glad to have you.
Hey, so glad to be here.
Man, it has been a big year for you with lots of new music and the State of the Heart release and now the State of the Heart deluxe release. How does the past year feel to you? I know it's been a weird time in the world, but you've had some really cool stuff happening with you and your music.
Yeah, definitely a bit of a dichotomy in terms of the experience, putting something out and also just experiencing a collective, kind of never thought this would happen kind of thing with the rest of the world. But I feel really inspired and happy and just a lot of gratitude to be in this spot and to have been able to have time to make this kind of output, 20 songs with the deluxe. So To have the time and space to do that was also a gift, and I'm glad that I used it to the best of my potential. And the deluxe is something that I'm really excited about, so I'm just glad to be here and be in this position.
Well, I was looking at that too, going, man, 20 songs. Like for some people, that's 2 full albums. Which is I think it's a testament to. And you can tell me I'm wrong or tell me it's something different, but I would think that's a testament to your songwriting and wanting to say something complete as a holistic album. And then these are tag on things that were also attached to that and not a new concept of an album or something like that. Is it something along those lines or what were you thinking?
Yeah, I think you nailed that. It's a State of the Heart has really become bigger than what I thought it even was when I first wrote the title track. And it's become a little bit of a mantra for me and this era of my life, it didn't quite feel complete. I think part of that was having taken this long to get to my first full-length album. There's a lot of songs that didn't make the cut for this record. And when I was, given the opportunity to finish it off and add 5, there was actually probably a list of 15. This kind of became about what really finished the story and made a complete thought, but it probably could have been a double album. And I think that it's an inspiring thing as far as the output goes, because I think songs find their place when they're needed. And some of these songs, that have been, part of this record have existed for many, many years. And they've just kind of found the right time. So, I'm a guy that's trying to make a complete thought, and there was going to be no fillers on this deluxe. So, everything's intentional, and I'm just ready for the next record, honestly.
Well, I bet. Are you already into writing for the next thing? I mean, I would assume so.
Yeah, I am, and it's been really cool because I have this kind of context now, right? There's a record, there's a catalog of music, a body of work. And there's also a communication, a connection with my fans, and a bit of an expectation of a conversation and a narrative that these songs have helped give me that platform. So I do feel like an even more of a responsibility to articulate my story, to expand on the narratives that we've begun with this record. And I've learned a lot from these songs and how people translate them into their own story. So I think the next record is going to be a really massive growth point, as this one was. But I think I'm forever changed by this experience as an artist, as a writer, as a person.
Man, I love that. I love hearing that the point of view is from what you're giving to the audience and what they're going to take from it, and the responsibility. I love that like perspective of it. When I'd like to play a couple of these songs. When you talk about the song "Good Die Young," how did that come up about? Are you thinking of, was that about a specific thing? Was that like rock musicians who die young? Is that just like what made you hit on that idea to want to write about?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, there's this nostalgia that I struggle with. It's a bit tragic nostalgia, and I think there's just so much to contend with from just growing up. And for me, like my personal life story, like along the way, as I've gained a lot, I've also lost a lot. And this song in particular is very special to me because I actually wrote it with my little brother Connor. And awesome. You know, Connor and I, he's my best friend, and he's not this is his first song he's ever written. And he was in town in Nashville. Then this happened in this era. So he was in Nashville, and he was actually in the talk about that video. He was playing keys for me. Nice. And I said, Connor, let's take a night and just try to write something together. Because what I love about his and my relationship is we always connect on the same context, right? So when we think about things and we don't even have to say it, we know it's the same, you know, a relation. So we really just kind of found this moment of, I think, between he and I and our experience of growing up, there's that, there's people we've lost. And then there's also just the moment, right? You lose the moment. And it's a bittersweet song, but I think there's a lot of kind of positive leaning in it too. It's just a lot of heart in that record, but mainly because I wrote it with my brother, it's really, really special.
Oh man, I love that. All right, well, for people listening, let's hear the song. This is "Good Die Young."
If I could sing a song to make it true you still exist, well, I would find a choir and a cathedral. Sing every hymn I know to find a miracle, to turn the time and find a way to freeze it. The good die young was a hell of a ride, with seven nails, magic, and illusional light. And it was on our tongue like the edge of a knife. Was everything we had that we wanted so bad? What do the good die young? Sing a song to make it true you still exist, and trust me, that's a certain kind of sorrow. 'Cause everywhere I go I see you and I don't. Yeah, we had a yesterday but no tomorrow. The good die young. Like the edge of a knife, was everything we had that we wanted so
All right, that was the song Good Die Young. Man, I love that song. I love that it's like poppy, but it's also, like you said, it's got heart. It's got a lot of feeling to it. And it's I really enjoyed that song. I'm going to do full disclosure on the next one, because it's going to make me sound like less of a music guy than I am, because I'm from freaking Texas. And I didn't realize that the song Rough Boy was originally written by ZZ Top. I know the song. And I played it, and I was listening to your track, and I was like, "Man, I know this. Is this what do I know this from?" And I was like, "You got to be freaking kidding me, ZZ Top!" So I sent it to my buddies. I've got a whole what we call Vinyl Night group of guys, and I'm like, "What? When did ZZ Top do this song? And Don Henley could have sang this song." And they're like, "I got it. Patrick's version is freaking awesome, and I love how you did it." So I'm curious, and you had Billy Gibbons on it, which is incredible. So first question is, do you remember hearing the song as a kid, or like, what was your attachment to the song? Why'd you want to do it?
Yeah, massive attachment. So my dad was a guitar player, turned doctor, and music has been, you know, that's been our connection point. And like, the earliest I can remember is my dad playing Rough Boy in like a 750 IL BMW, and I'm like probably 8, and we're driving to New York City, and I was just like, what is this? And all my life, Rough Boy has been this just kind of pillar, you know, sonic pillar. It's an incredible pop song of ZZ Top's, you know. A really great pop record with two guitar solos that was on the radio. It's like, that's what I'm talking about.
That's rare. And,
you know, but for me, like, Billy Gibbons is one of the all-time great singers and guitar players. And you know, when I was making State of the Heart, that, you know, I have this kind of reference playlist of inspiration, of, you know, sonic inspiration, all these things. And Rough Boy, you know, has been a staple on that list. And it was always a dream of mine to cover it. Now, I did not anticipate the situation of being able to do that with Billy. But the stars aligned. And, you know, I collaborated with my friend Derek Wells, who's here in Nashville. He's a great guitar player.
Oh, yeah.
And Derek's done some work with Billy. So between Billy, myself, and Derek, we put this together, and it was kind of this guitar mecca, but I'm just so proud of it. It's a moment that connects a lot of my life and connects me and my dad. And, it's just a real honor.
Oh man, I love it. Okay. So before we play it, when you're in these situations, you've got a song like this, that's like thrown up, and you're just ready to knock it out of the park with guitar. How did you let them have, you know, the solos? Were you taking solos? Was it a trade back and forth? How'd that go?
So, yeah, you know, obviously what I wanted to do in the production of this song is, you know, honor the original, but, you know, keep my own flavor and make it something that is today. And the guitar solos were very, very, you know, obviously important. Now, Billy came in and, you know, he grabbed my Strat, plugged into my rig, and man, that first solo, the first solo is Billy. Okay. And he just rips it, and he's playing my gear, and he sounds like him. And, you know, and then he hands me the guitar. He's like, "All right, your turn." And it's just game on. It's game on. And your whole life leads to this moment, man, where I, you know,
it's your turn.
Tension and muscles. And you know, I FaceTimed my dad, and it was just really great. And that the solo after his verse is mine, and I take it home, and I just, I mean, I think my whole life led up to that solo.
That's awesome. All right. Well, that's a great lead up. Okay. So we're going to play it now. This is the song Rough Boy, written by ZZ Top, and now re-recorded by Patrick and with guest guitarist Billy Gibbons. man, that, I just love that song. I love your cover of it. And I, like I said, I was listening to the new tracks from the deluxe edition, and I heard this one. I was like, how do I know this? But I don't know it. And it was ZZ Top. And I thought you gave it like such a different flavor to it, like emotional connection to the lyrics or to the singing. That just, it's just awesome. So I really,
but we slowed it down a bit too. And I think that made it feel a little bit different, but Billy's vocal in the second verse just kills me,
man. I love it. All right. So awesome. you are a fantastic guitar player. That's your background. That's what you, I assume what you love doing. But you're also writing these pop songs. So like, where do you go on pulling back the reins of holding back your inner guitar hero? Like, do you have to check yourself and be like, not a solo, we're going to go to a chorus? Or like, do you fight that at all?
Sure.
Or do you, okay.
It's become, as I've gotten older, way more of a, it's like it all makes me feel fulfilled. So I don't feel like I need to put the guitar solo in if it doesn't feel like the emotional moment. And what does the song ask for? I think the guitar is such an incredible voice. And when I'm playing guitar on my own records with my singing voice, I do feel like it's a bit of a duet. And you know, you're not going to sing over each other. You're not going to say things that are unnecessary. And I think the older I get, the more I really enjoy the restraint and finding the moments for it to shine. So it's definitely, you know, a give and take. Rough Boy was an incredible opportunity just to shred. And I just was like, I'm going to play.
Yeah.
But I think as a songwriter, and I credit my dad again, is, you know, I grew up listening to amazing guitar players, but at the same time, you know, amazing songwriters and singers, and guitar solo is only as important as the song it's in. So, it's just, you know, it's a balancing act.
That's good. That's a good way to put it. Okay. So if I had done my research right, I believe that, I read that you have gotten into like Bon Iver and the National, some of those guys. Are you liking that kind of music?
Yeah, I'm a huge fan. I have been for years, especially from a production sense.
Well, so how, I'm curious because I know you like the old school stuff, and I know you're also doing new stuff. And if you're like me, like I feel like I grew up on like classic rock and then 90s rock and then current stuff like the National. And it's always kind of reconciling that it's a line from the 60s or from the 50s all the way to now. And I see those bands as a natural extension of what was started. But I feel like it can also be hard for some people to like, to listen to all that. Like they're either like all in on classic or they're all in on new, but they don't maybe have a perspective of all of it. Do you feel like you have a good, you're able to enjoy all those areas and genres of music across different decades?
Yes, I think I am. And I think that more people are able to now that genre has been more defined as a mood. Like I think there are more, you have more freedom today to feel how you need to feel, and you can find the music to help that experience, whatever it may be. So I like to curate like my emotions in the different ways of playlists for certain feelings and moods. And I can dive into different things. I think something that I try to reckon with is, you know, older records, the limitations in they had in making them and the incredible feats in creating these, you know, meccas of recordings. That makes me feel like, all right, like there's a bit of a pyramid and they stand a little taller because, you know, we're able to make a lot happen in the studio now and right. Modern records, you know, have a bit of an edge to them because you can just make anything happen. So there's a lot of respect, but I definitely feel like I'm more inspired than ever by so many things and so many eras. And I hope to never lose that.
That's good. Well, speaking of inspiration, I thought that Hummingbird was such a great, one of the new tracks on the deluxe edition that just was great. Poppy, really melodic at the same time. What was the kind of inspiration behind that song?
So Hummingbird is very, very tied into State of the Heart. And basically when I was at NYU, my freshman year, I just moved to the city. I had a class called Writing the Essay. And there was an essay that I was given called Joyas Voladoras, which means the flying jewels. And it's an excerpt from a book called The Wet Engine by a poet named Brian Doyle. Brian's son had heart surgery at his transplant when he was six. And Brian wrote this incredible book about the heart and its, you know, form and function. And this essay was all about the hummingbird. And in terms of its heart and how small its heart is and how fast it beats every second and how, like, when a hummingbird comes to a halt, like, it comes close to death, and the kind of, like, the price of ambition of a hummingbird. They live for 2 years, but they live so much life in those 2 years. And I've just always kept that close to me. And a lot of state of the heart, like, kind of is so connected to Brian Doyle and reading that book when I was, you know, in college. And so Hummingbird was a song I've always wanted to write, and to find the metaphor between that and love. And, you know, so when that came to be, and I wrote it with my co-producer, Ben West, it was such a special moment, because I feel like I've been living that story for a long time. And in the context of the musicality of it, it's kind of like the melodies are just really infectious and happy. But just to be able to get all that in one song is something really important. I'm so glad that it's on this record, because I think that's one of those corners that needed to happen for me to feel like this was complete.
Well, yeah, like you said, I love the musicality of it and the sonic mood that it helps set in the context of the full record. So let's play it. This is the song Hummingbird.
Hummingbird, hummingbird, there's a song inside the word. There's a price to taking flight. You gotta make it through the night. Won't you stay, won't you stay? I know you gotta fly away. You're not made for standing still. Don't wanna let go, but I will. She's there at your window, at least in your head, and you're left to wonder just what it meant. You get over thinking, and you get overwhelmed. You get over sleeping, they're all back. Slips right through your hands. Hummingbird, hummingbird, oh, you never get over her. Come what may, come what might, there's the string and there's the kite. What's a stage without a band? What's the poem without your head? Oh, you have until you had it. It is until it's not. Lying there and then your world's apart. You get overthinking, you get overwhelmed. You get oversleeping, they're all by yourself. You get over trying to somehow understand how you almost catch it, then it slips right through your head.
Song Hummingbird from State of the Heart, the deluxe edition, which I just love. And I love these new songs because I feel like they even fill out different colors in the palette that you created with the State of the Heart record. Like it really adds to the record as a whole.
Thank you.
Yeah, and you hit on different moods on the record, and you kind of mentioned a minute ago talking about playlists, and you create playlists and emotions. I'm curious on this. This is just semi on topic. But you know, I was talking with some friends recently about music and the way it affects you. And I'm curious for you, by someone who is probably very affected by music and the songs you listen to or the songs you write, when you're choosing to listen to music, if you are down, do you find that you play down music, or do you play music to get you out of the down? You know what I mean?
Oh, that's a great question. Yeah, man, I think that I do match it. I do match. I think if I'm feeling something, and this might be just like the songwriter in me, the artist in me, is like, I just, how deep can I feel it? But also I think that's part of this responsibility I was talking about.
Yeah.
Is I, as a listener, when I hear somebody else similarly going through the experience, like the singer singing to me their experience of what I'm feeling, I feel less alone.
Yeah.
And that's really cool, because you're kind of like, you're by yourself, but you're alone together. And that, I think, is an awesome thing. Now, granted, I will like be very, very happy and driving really fast to like a Sarah McLachlan song. So like, whatever. It's all good.
That's funny. Yeah. Like I'm a huge Elliott Smith fan, and I can put that on, and like, I know it so well. It just feels reassuring, and I don't have to be down to be hearing it. But somebody walks in and like, oh my gosh, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, this is great. I'm feeling great. So yeah, it's funny how you connect with different. Yeah, it's funny how you connect to different music in different ways. So
I love that.
All right. So last song I wanted to play on this episode is Like the Water. Can you set up this song a little bit? What were you thinking about, and why did you include this one on the record?
Yeah, this song, I wrote this song 2 years ago, and it was a really close contender for making the first, you know, first part of the record, the first 15 songs. And it's just one of those tunes. It's very, the metaphor is straightforward. Like, I write about water as an element quite a bit, because I think it's like really, there's an essentialness to that, and like, and how that compounds with love and these timeless moments of standing up, you know, at the beach, and just like the expansiveness of it, how it can wreck you and save you, all these things. And this is just kind of one of those songs that just never left my head, and the hook is just really, really strong. So it was just one of those songs that just felt like it was its time to come out, and it just actually came out early, and it's been an awesome, awesome reaction. I've been so happy this last week as it's been out. So I can't wait for everybody to hear it if they haven't heard it yet.
Man, that's awesome. Well, for people listening, let's play it right now, and you can hear it. This is Like the Water.
Something about the moon pulling me and you, natural as the turning tide. Found me at the shore, I was wanting more, honey, my lips were dry. Followed you and now that I've fallen in, I'm losing oxygen, but baby, I'm born again. And all that I can do is surrender to you tonight. Your love is like the water. Your love is like the dark blue under the waves. I'm only drifting farther. The way you pull me under end of the day. My doubts will drown in the way you surround all of me. Your love is like the water. Your love is like the water. Wash me clean. So skin is anything but sin. Heaven's lying at your side. You move just like the ocean, painted in devotion, lost in your eyes and lies. Followed you and now that I've fallen in, I'm losing oxygen, but baby I'm born again. All that I can do is surrender to you tonight, babe. Your love is like the water. Your love is like the dark blue under the waves. I'm only drifting farther. The way you pull me out.
feels like the world is. Your love is like the water.
That was the song Like the Water, another one of the additional tracks on the State of the Heart Deluxe Edition. Patrick, man, I am so excited for you. This record, the Deluxe Edition, comes out on September 17th. And for people listening, be sure and go check out Patrick's record, State of the Heart. Thank you so much for coming on the show again. It's a pleasure to chat with you and wish you the very best this year, man.
Man, thanks for what you're doing. I love how you're highlighting the stories behind the songs and the context and intention. So I appreciate you.
Thank you for listening to the Songs of Note podcast. Be sure and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. See you next time.